Fire from the sky. Everyone knew that the top half of the towers rocked as the messages flew along the trunk. One day, someone was going to do something about it, and all old signallers knew that if the connecting rod operating the shutters on the down line was pushed up to open them on the same blink as the connecting rod on the up line was pulled down to close the shutters on the other side of the tower lurched. It was being pushed from one side and pulled from the other, which would have roughly the same effect as a column of marching soldiers could have on an old bridge. That wasn't too much of a problem unless it occurred again and again so that the rocking built up to a dangerous level. But how often would that happen? Every time the woodpecker arrived at your tower, that was how often. And it was like an illness that could only attack the weak and sick. It wouldn't have attacked the old trunk, because the old trunk was too full of tower captains who'd shut down instantly and stripped the offending message out of the drum, secure in the knowledge that their actions would be judged by superiors who knew how a tower worked and would have done the same thing themselves. It would work against the new trunk, because there weren't enough of those captains now. You did what you were told, or you didn't get paid, and if things went wrong, it wasn't your problem. It was the fault of whatever idiot had accepted this message for sending in the first place. No one cared about you, and everyone at headquarters was an idiot. It wasn't your fault. No one listened to you. Headquarters had even started an Employee of the Month scheme to show how much they cared. That was how much they didn't care. And today, you'd been told to shift code as fast as possible, and you didn't want to be the one accused of slowing the system down, so you watched the next tower in line until your eyes watered and you hit keys like a man tap dancing on hot rocks. One after another, the towers failed. Some burned when the shutter boxes broke free and smashed onto the cabin roofs, spilling blazing oil. There was no hope of fighting fire in a wooden box 60 feet up in the air. You slid down the suicide line and legged it to a safe distance to watch the show. 14 towers were burning before someone took their hands off the keys. And then what? You'd been given orders. There were to be no other messages on the trunk while this message was being sent. What did you do next? Moist awoke, the grand trunk burning in his head. The smoking GNU wanted to break it down and pick up the pieces, and he could see why. But it wouldn't work. Somewhere on the line there was going to be one inconvenient engineer who'd risk his job to send a message ahead saying, "It's a killer, shift it slowly," and that would be that. Oh, it might take a day or two to get the thing to Genua, but they had weeks to work with. And someone else, too, would be smart enough to compare the message with what had been sent by the first tower. Guilt would wriggle out of it. No, he'd storm out of it. The message had been tampered with, he'd say, and he'd be right. There had to be another solution. The GNU were onto something, though. Changing the message was the answer, if only he could do it in the right way. Moist opened his eyes. He was at his desk, and someone had put a pillow under his head. When was the last time he'd slept in a decent bed? Oh, yes, the night Mr. Pump had caught him. He'd spent a couple of hours in a rented bed that had a mattress which didn't actually move and wasn't full of rocks. Bliss. His immediate past life scampered before his eyes. He groaned.
"Good morning, Mr. Lipwig," said Mr. Pump from the corner. "Your razor is sharp, the kettle is hot, and I'm sure a cup of tea is on the way."
"What time is it?"
"Noon, Mr. Lipwig. You did not get in until dawn," the golem added reproachfully.
Moist groaned again. 6 hours to the race, and then so many pigeons would come home to roost, it'd be like an eclipse.
"There is much excitement," said the golem as Moist shaved. "It has been agreed that the starting line will be in Sator Square."
Moist stared at his reflection, barely listening. He always raised the stakes automatically, never promised to do the possible. Anyone could do the possible. You should promise to do the impossible, because sometimes the impossible was possible if you could find the right way, and at least you could often extend the limits of the possible. And if you failed, well, it had been impossible. But he'd gone too far this time. Oh, it had been no great shame to admit that a coach and horses couldn't travel at 1,000 miles an hour, but guilt would strut about it and the post office would remain just a little old-fashioned thing behind the times, small, unable to compete. Guilt would find some way to hold onto the grand trunk, cutting even more corners, killing people out of greed.
"Are you all right, Mr. Lipwig?" said the golem behind him.
Moist stared into his own eyes, and what flickered